Come, Thorn had said to his companions, the young ones, who crept out of the hall with him. Let's go to the grove. Let's stand in the very grove as the thunder rolls on. They'd been frightened of the holy ground, but they couldn't show it. You were a Viking child, said Marius quietly. Oh, so the Britons called us, said Thorn. I don't think we used that name for ourselves. We learnt it from our enemies. I remember their screams when we climbed their walls, when we stole the gold from the altars of the churches. He paused. He let his eyes rest calmly on Marius for a moment. What a tolerant one you are. You truly want to listen. Marius nodded. I listen with my whole soul. He gave a little sigh and he looked out through the immense glass. I'm weary of being alone, my friend, he said. I cannot bear the company of those whom I know most intimately, and they cannot bear mine on account of things I've done. Thorn was surprised by this sudden confession. Thorn thought of the blood drinker Lestat and his songs. He thought of all those gathered at the council when the evil queen had come. He knew all had survived, and he knew that this blonde one, Marius, had talked with reason more potently than any other. Go on with your story, Marius said. I didn't mean to interrupt you. You meant to make a point. It was only that I slew many men before I ever became a blood drinker, said Thorn. I swung Thor's hammer as well as my sword and my axe. I fought as a boy at my father's side. I fought after I buried him, and he died no straw death, I can assure you, but with his sword in his hand as he wanted it. Thorn paused. And you, my friend, he asked, were you a soldier? Marius shook his head. A senator, he said. A maker of laws, something of a philosopher. I went to war, yes, for some time, because my family wished it, and I had a high place in one of the legions, but my time wasn't very long, and I was home and back in my library. I loved books. I still do. There are rooms of this house which are full of them, and I have houses elsewhere that are full of them. I never really knew battle. Marius stopped. He leant forward and brought the water up to his face, as Thorn had done before. And he let the water run down over his eyelids. Come, he said. Let's be done with this pleasure and go for another. Let's hunt. I can feel your hunger. I have new clothes for you here. I have all you need. Or would you stay longer in this warm water? No, I am ready, said Thorn. It had been so long since he had fed that he was ashamed to admit it. Once again he rinsed his face and hair. He ducked down into the water and came up, pushing his wet hair back from his forehead. Marius had already climbed out of the tub and held out for Thorn a large, white towel. It was thick and roughened, and perfect for mopping the water off his blood-drinker skin, which never absorbs anything. The air of the room seemed chilled for one moment as he stood on the stone floor, but very soon he was warm again, rubbing fiercely at his hair to press the last droplets out of it. Marius had finished with the task and now took a fresh towel from the stack and began to rub Thorn's back and shoulders. This familiarity sent the chills through Thorn's limbs. Marius rubbed hard at Thorn's head, and then he began to comb the wet hair free of tangles. "Why is there no red beard, my friend?" asked Marius as the two faced each other. "I remember the Norsemen with their beards. I remember them when they came to Byzantium. Does that name mean anything to you?" "Oh, yes," said Thorn. "I was taken to see that wondrous city." He turned around and accepted the towel from Marius' hands. "My beard was thick and long even when I was very young, let me assure you, but it was shaved the night that I became a blood drinker. I was groomed for the magical blood. It was the will of the creature who made me." Marius nodded, but he was far too polite to say her name, though the other young one had brashly spoken it. "You know it was Maharet," said Thorn. "You didn't need to hear it from your young friend. You caught it from my thoughts, didn't you?" Thorn paused, then went on. "You know it was the vision of her that brought me out of the ice and snow. She stood against the evil queen. She bound the vampire Lestat in chains. But to speak of her just now takes the breath out of me. When will I ever be able to speak of her? I can't know now. Let's hunt, and then we can really talk to one another." He was solemn, holding the towel against his chest. In his secret heart, he tried to feel love for the one who made him. He tried to draw from the centuries a wisdom that would quench anger, but he couldn't do it. All he could do was be silent and hunt with Marius now.